Well, hello once again, and in the studio today is Tyler Butler, who is the naturalist at Terradice.
Yeah.
Tyler, it's good to have you back again.
It's wonderful to be back. I love being on this
program.
You've
been on like three or four times now.
I believe, yeah, three or four times.
And I keep asking you back.
Must be doing something right.
You must be. Well, there's... Terradice is open, alive, and well. Let's start out with how has COVID affected the operations out there?
Yeah, you know, just like any other organization or business, we've definitely been affected by COVID. It hit early on in really the winter and kind of shut us down for good there for a couple months. We had to kind of reevaluate our programming and how are we going to approach the public, because that's, you know, a large branch or pillar of our mission is to do a lot of community outreach, community education as far as environmental sciences go. And so we had to take a lot of our on-site materials and move them to off-site materials, and that meant translating a lot of them to virtual videos or just sort of, you know, social media type outreach projects.
I caught some of those, and they're very interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, I do enjoy making those. And I always ask when COVID gets brought up, you know, have you spent this time, you know, going over skill or developing a new maybe talent or maybe rehashing an old talent that you once have had? I spent my time learning video editing, which is something I'd always been interested in. Graphic design was part of my degree when I went to Ohio State. And so, you know, we can make the graphics and pump out videos, and I know how to work a camera. So putting all of that stuff together into a full functioning video was, you know, always a pretty good interest of mine. And so that's what I spent our quarantine period doing. But what about you, Mike? Did you pick up any extra talents, skills, knowledge?
I have worked on my sleeping and resting skills.
Oh, excellent.
But you had told me off air that you had also, that the bed and breakfast been doing quite well.
Yeah, so through Terradice, we have the Romine residence, which is the house on site, built in 1952, just a year after, well, the property was purchased in 52 by Ray and Trella Romine. And then they started building the house. The house was finished in 1953. So it's a great old-style 1950s house there. And we Airbnb through it, which is an online sort of breakfast, bed and breakfast deal. So you can rent the house and pretty much that whole structure is yours. You get to enjoy the house and then the 5 acres worth of property, you know, the towering hardwoods and the low-lying wetlands. It's right on the river. So pretty fantastic. It's a great setup, $100 a night, $150 on the weekends. But yeah, it's been pretty busy and bustling through there. We opened back up in May, opened back up to the guests. And like I said, you know, it was kind of weird to see how things staggered a bit. We've been consistently booked since May, and that's been exciting for us to just kind of bring in a little more income, bring in a little more revenue as a new nature center. That's definitely something that we're looking for. So we're fortunate to have that structure there that we can Airbnb, that we can rent to bring in a little bit of income so we can pay for, you know, guests to come out and speak or different educational programs, outreach for education materials for classrooms. We're very fortunate to have that. But yeah, early on, people were staying for 2, 3, 4 days. Then another person would come in for 2, 3, 4 days. But anymore, we've gotten these long-term stays, a month, you know, 2 weeks. So it's pretty incredible that even with everything going on, we've still got that source of revenue coming into
that's
us.
That's awesome. Now, I'd also ask you, I found it interesting, your answer, if it was mostly local folks or folks from out of state, who rents?
Sure. It's a great mix of people. We get people from all over. Right now, Well, I guess most recently we've had some folks from New Mexico come in. They're working on a project here in Marion. So they just have to, you know, well, they needed a spot to land. And having a nice, you know, cozy spot in the woods next to the river was perfect for them. It was just what they had in mind. It's a little different than staying in a hotel and having to deal with, you know, everybody else at the hotel and maybe parking situations and the bustling noise of the city at night. Or maybe the unsuredness of, you know, property managers and things like this, right? How clean is that room? So, yeah, they decided to come in and stay at the Airbnb, which kind of just feels like a house.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of nice there on Whetstone River Road.
Yes. North. That's important.
North.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit outside of Caledonia. It's a nice, peaceful place. Beautiful. I mean, you can study nature there. It's I wouldn't mind staying there sometime, so maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you don't have to be from New Mexico or out of state. You can be from Caledonia. Just come a mile south, and yeah, we'll bunk you up.
Now, there's a rather large library there that Trella and Ray had accumulated. That's available to people to stay there as well, I believe.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So Ray, being a poet and an illustrator, also an amateur lepidopterist, so he collected moths and butterflies. So plenty of books on those subjects. And then you have Trella, who was an incredible historian. She was an accomplished naturalist, a horticulturalist. She had a lot of very diverse interests. Very, very interesting, intriguing woman. And yeah, just over the years collected books. There's a collection there at the house. That date way, way back. I was looking at a book the other day, flipping through the pages. It was a bird identification book, kind of like a field guide. And I had recognized inside that book that they were still identifying passenger pigeons as a species. But they have been an extinct species for quite some time now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But they were recognized in this book, yeah, which it was incredible. Yeah, so it was a great find. So I really enjoyed that. But, yeah, the collection that Ray and Trella had together is something to that just, you know, your mouth is open, just in awe of all of the things they collected. You also have their own writings there as well. Like I said, Ray was a poet, so we have books of his poetry around, his published poetry. He sent a lot to two different newspapers around, and they collected his poems and published them. And then I have back in safekeeping, some filing, a lot of the poems that didn't get published that are still very, very interesting. And he wrote about all kinds of stuff. I mean, he was very into seasons. So a lot of his poetry is categorized by winter, spring, summer, fall, which is really interesting. He wrote about Terradice a lot. Ray is the one who coined the term Terradice. He was big on wordplay, and Mike, I know you're big on wordplay too.
No.
But terra meaning earth, paradise meaning heaven.
Right.
So Terradice, put them together, it was their little piece of heaven on earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a beautiful place. Now, if somebody is wanting to use the facility for overnight or for however long, what's the best way to contact you and to make reservations?
Sure, yeah. The best way to make a reservation for an overnight stay would be through the Airbnb website itself. So that's airbnb.com. That's AIRBNB.com. And you can search us up, Terradice Nature Center, right on that website there. So it's pretty easy, pretty flawless. You do have to make a profile. You do have to get authenticated, which just means they're making sure you're a real person and you're going to show up to the property when you say you're going to show up to the property. Everything is done online, so you put in your debit card information, and when you basically make it to the Airbnb itself, or you make it to the Nature Center, that's when your rental starts. So you schedule it ahead of time. If you would like to rent it at another capacity, we're totally open to that as well, for an afternoon, maybe a family event or a wedding, something like that. absolutely open to it. The best way to get a hold of us there would be either to go to our website and contact us through our contact page, or you can email me directly. That's tbutler@terradise, terradise.org, and I'd be happy to talk you through any information that that you might need or any questions that you might have about the property itself. But it's beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. We've got great lighting this time of year, especially during the golden hour. Oh, gosh. Sunsets out there? Incredible. Incredible. So that's one of the I've been thinking about programs for 2021, and I definitely want to get a sunset program out there that might lead into maybe like a night hike. I really like doing night hikes, too. I think those are really, really valuable as far as understanding maybe animal adaptations or constellations, star formations, things like that. So.
Okay. Now, you also, of course, are on Facebook. And what other media are you on as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we love Facebook. Facebook is great for us, and we love interacting with everybody on the page. We have two pages. We have a group page, and then we have the actual business page, Terradise Nature Center. We post pretty often, pretty frequently on the Facebook page. We never let it go a week without posting. So the things we post are interesting articles that we found. Just this morning, we posted a great article from, who is that from? It's a great organization here in the state of Ohio. They're for basically fish and hunt advocacy. So they're fighting at the state level for legislation. It was a fantastic article. It might be the Ohio Conservation Federation. In fact, I'm almost certain that it is.
Okay.
But they had just posted an article about the Civilian Conservation Corps, which is this great public works program.
My grandpa was in that, by the way.
Yeah, from FDR. Yeah, to get people through after the Great Depression. Just put young men to work, 18 to 25, and they would go out and be involved with their natural resources. You know, they would go into state wild areas or national wild areas, you know, and they had all sorts of jobs, bridge building and cabin building and trail making and all sorts of stuff. So,
well, if you see great amounts of pine trees that are nice straight roots,
oh, absolutely.
Here, probably was planted by them.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was a fantastic program, very, very successful. And basically, that argument, or the article, was an argument that we need to bring that back. So it would be a great opportunity for a lot of the young people around.
I think so. I think that would be wonderful.
Absolutely.
And it was the OhioConservationFederation.org.
Yes.
Is their website.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Well, one, fantastic organization. And two, fantastic article there. We have something kind of similar right now, which would be like AmeriCorps, and AmeriCorps will send, young people into state game areas or into state parks or what have
museums
you.
Museums is a big one I know of.
Museums is another big one. Yep, we saw a lot of AmeriCorps members out on Cape Cod when I was working for the local school district and the National Seashore out there. We had a lot of AmeriCorps members out there just kind of maintaining trails and, building facilities, and they do a lot of great work. But that the CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps, was a massive hit way back when.
Yes. Well, someplace in our family, my grandpa's uniform that we issued is in the family. I'm not sure who ended up with it, but I would love to have that.
Absolutely. So the other things that we post pretty much weekly, we have these really great species cards, it's what I call them, which is just where we identify plants or animals or maybe even a fungus that we find on Terradise property. So every photograph, or for the most part, every photograph that we use for social media comes from Terradise.
Okay.
I will say for sure, every photograph we use to identify a species does come from Terradise. When we're doing other projects or putting together graphics for videos, there may be a time or two where we need to reach out and find some other materials on, commercial use websites and things like that. But for the most part, when you go to the Terradise website, you are seeing photographs from Terradise. And we have a lot of very, very loyal, great, talented photographers that come out. I bring my camera out a bunch as well, and just snap pictures away. The photography community in Marion and Morrow County is incredible.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it really is. There's a lot of talent in the Bi-County area. It just blows me away all the time. And there's lots of local photography Facebook pages and groups you can follow as well. But speaking of, again, just going back to what we have on our Facebook feed, we like to just share what other organizations might be doing, whether it be Headwaters Outdoor Education Center in Morrow County or the Morrow County Parks District, Marion County Parks District with James Anderson. We love to share his stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So we just want to, you know, make sure we're impacting the community in that way and just sharing other organizations' events. You know, we definitely don't see it as a us against them sort of deal. We're out to work with everybody and be supportive of everybody. And I feel like everybody's kind of in that mindset, which is really, really nice. It's nice to be in a field where, you know, competition doesn't take over and it's very, very friendly and everybody's partnering with everybody else. I love doing that kind of stuff. But we'll also post our videos on there, and we have all sorts of videos. They fit into different categories. Sometimes I dive into species a little bit more. We call these the Who's That Sound videos, where we will put up some information, whether it be a bird or a frog or maybe a mammal that has a really neat call. We'll put together a whole video. These last about a minute, minute and a half at most. And it's information and the call of this animal, which you can experience through video. And I enjoy making those. Mm-hmm. We also have our Naturally Curious series, which is where I basically ask a question like, is poison ivy bad? Why do birds sing after it rains? What's up with garlic mustard, right? And so we put together a video. Those are about 5, 6, 8 minutes long, a little more entailed there. But that's me talking in front of the camera with graphics coming up just to support the details that are coming through. Those are really fun to make. We also have videos for kids, demographic 4th and 5th grade. Those are our Field Journal Friday series. We've got 3 of those videos up right now. One on the way. We're going to work with James Anderson from mm-hmm. the Marion Parks District. He's going to be a part of that, which we're super, super excited for. But basically, that is a Field Journal sheet that you can print out. You can watch the video. I give you instructions on what we're going to be doing that day, whether it's plot sampling different plant species or whether it's comparing and contrasting different spring wildflowers. We did a cartography episode, which is map making, which was very, very fun. So those range anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. We're really excited about those. We think that's a series that can continue indefinitely, and we're definitely excited to do that. And then we've got a little bit longer videos, our sit-down videos. We did one in the spring, and we actually just finished one last week on Thursday. So in the spring, we had David Donahue on. He was talking about warblers. And actually, I think I talked about warblers on this program in the spring.
I know you did.
Yes, yeah. Yes, you did. Speaking of, there'll be, if they're not already through, there will be some warblers coming through, probably palm and pine. They'll be coming through back south. They're neotropical, so they'll be heading back down to South America for the winter during their feeding period. And another warbler we'll probably be seeing soon is the yellow-rumped warbler, or the butterbuts. They'll probably stick around here for the winter. So you might see that's really a winter bird that we have, kind of a strange. They've got a little bit of strange timing as far as their migration and where they stop. They definitely tolerate colder temperatures better than the other warblers. But we had, like I said, we had David Donahue in the spring. He is great. He spoke all about warblers and the migration coming through. That was about an hour talk. He had a lot of information to give on that. We had, like I said, last week, we had Ethan Simmons on. Ethan Simmons is a fisheries biologist with Region 1 of the ODNR, Ohio Department of Natural Resources. And he came on to talk to us about the
Fishes of the Olentangy.
The Fishes of the Olentangy.
I got right in front of
him. Oh, excellent. Yeah. So he came on and he had a great slideshow showing you the different minnows you could find, or the different sucker fish you could find, the sport fish you can find in the Olentangy. And he also spoke briefly on watersheds and freshwater science. And it was just an incredible talk. So we really enjoyed that. And when we do those, usually those are live. So you can join us live. During that, we cast it onto Facebook, or we have a Zoom call, and we are more than happy to give you the passcode to the Zoom call so you can come in, you can ask questions, you can join the chat if you want to. If you're watching it on Facebook, you can leave a comment as a question. Mm-hmm. Totally open to that as well. And then once everything finishes up and they're done with their presentations, we ask those questions. So very excited to do that. We had a great response to the fishing program. But if you miss those programs, not to worry, because they are also recorded and on our YouTube channel. So you can go to our YouTube channel, or YT, I hear the kids calling it now, our YT channel.
Okay. I hadn't heard that one yet.
We're at Teradyce Nature Center. And we've got a pretty active channel there. I try and upload at least a video a week up there. So depending on what it might be. But you can subscribe to us. That will, I think that'll notify you when we post another video. Another great thing that you could do is you could sign up for our email blasts. So every 2 weeks, we're just sending out a short, brief, non-invasive email. That I'll write an update for. It's about 200, 250 word update about what's going on at Teradyce, what sorts of wildflowers are mm-hmm. present, maybe what butterflies are in season, or the different just the different things going on at Teradyce. I'll talk about events and things like that. But then we also share other really great natural resource news coming out of Marion Morrow County. We'll link to the videos that are coming out. So it's kind of a one-stop shop as far as that goes. You open up the email and there's everything you need to know about Teradyce right there. But still, you should subscribe to our YouTube channel, because I hear that's how you make it on YouTube, with subscribers, I guess.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. You get so many hits or something.
Yeah, there's an algorithm involved and... So, but we're excited for it. It's stuff that we really enjoy doing, but we are very excited to also be opening up Teradyce itself to on-site events. We just had an on-site event in August that was Reptiles of the Olentangy. There's a theme here. Our speakers this year are of the Olentangy speakers.
Okay. And it's the Olentangy that runs through Teradyce.
Olentangy, right? The river. Yeah, okay. Which is also known as the Whetstone River, of course. So these are all of the Olentangy speakers. So they pick their topic, and of course they're not really picking them. I've kind of sought out these speakers as their expertise in these certain subjects. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Abby DiDomasi came out in August, and she spoke on the reptiles of the Olentangy. And not only did she speak on the reptiles of the Olentangy or the Olentangy watershed, she's just kind of looking at you know, what sort of reptiles we could find in Marion County, especially in the Teradyce area. But she also brought out her reptile and amphibian ambassadors. She's from the Crawford County Parks District, so they have an animal ambassador program out mm-hmm. there. So she brought out a black rat snake. She brought out a couple different turtles, a soft-shell turtle. She had a snapping turtle with her. She brought out some salamanders. She brought out garter snakes, some frogs, toads. She just did a great job. She's really interactive with the crowd. She talked about what she does with the Parks District. She's, you know, a published herpetologist, which is somebody who studies frogs and reptiles. Mm-hmm. Herpetology translating to, I just love this, herpetology translating to ology, meaning the study of. Herp actually translating to things that creep. So it's the study of things that creep. which, when you think about snakes and maybe salamanders and lizards and things like that, it's kind of fitting.
Yeah. I know some people that fit in that category, but
yeah. We were hoping to find a five-line skink. So we have an incredible population of five-line skink there at Teradice, which is an Ohio native lizard, which is pretty incredible. We don't really think about lizards in Ohio as much, but there are five species of lizard that live in Ohio, one of them invasive. Most of them skinks. We have a fence lizard and a wall lizard as well. Or the Lazarus lizard, actually being the invasive one, but that's more in the southern third counties there. But the most common lizard you will find in our area, and it's not common to find, I'll tell you, is the five-line skink. They've got those electric blue tails on the end of them.
Okay.
Really distinct. When they're juveniles, they'll have the electric blue tail. They're a darker lizard. They've got white stripes that come down them. Five of them. Five.
Okay,
lines.
That's where they get the name. Okay, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when they get a little bit older, they dull out in color a little bit. They're more browns, grays, tans, but they still have those five off-colored white lines that go down their body. But incredible, incredible animals. We were hoping to find one for Abby's talk, and I looked and looked and looked and looked. Didn't find anything. And then the day after, I was cleaning out our greenhouse and happened to find a five-line skink. So thinking of Abby, I went ahead and did a video on the skink. So you can find that on our YouTube channel. But she was incredible. Let's see. As I said, Ethan Simmons came up and he actually did a virtual lesson. The ODNR is kind of keeping you know, employees in their offices for now.
Right.
Totally understandable. We get it. We made it work. We took it online. So we are so happy to have Ethan join us, or have had Ethan join us last week. Upcoming, we've got Django Grootmeyers. He's from the North American Mycology Project.
Mycology.
So he's going to talk fungus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we have fungi of the Olentangy. Hopefully he shows us what's good to eat, what's not good to eat. That would be helpful information to have. That's on, like I said, October 24th. That's a Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. He's going to have a short presentation, and he's going to take us on a mushroom hunting hike. Now, here's the thing. We are excited for this to happen. We are experiencing what I'm going to call a little bit of mosquito madness right now, though.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that.
Yeah, so we've had a great emergence of mosquitoes lately, and unfortunately, the dragonflies missed them. We are doing the best we can to kind of mitigate that situation. It's not terrible, but it is noticeable. So if you do plan on coming out, I just recommend bug spray. You know, you can use DEET or natural bug spray. It's up to you. Just be prepared for that if that's something that you plan to do.
Just talking about bug spray, I don't mean to throw you off here. Have you ever heard of using Avon Skin So Soft as a bug repellent?
I think I've heard something about that, but I've not looked into it too much.
I've tried it.
Yeah. You know, I have used all sorts of bug sprays, and I know, you know, DEET is not great. DEET is not great, but it is effective. So if your goal is to not be bitten, that's, you know, what I would recommend. But there are natural bug sprays as well. There are even bug sprays you can make from ingredients at home. You don't have to buy it already packaged.
Sure.
You can make them from home. And those, I'm sure, are effective too.
And better for the environment as well.
And better for the environment. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Or maybe we just need to find a way to get those dragonflies back. That's what we need to do.
Okay.
I mean, November 12th, we have James coming back. James and I are working together a lot here in the fall. James is coming back to Teradice, and we're going to do a Mammals of the Olentangy.
Okay.
And I think our focus is going to be aquatic mammals. So we're talking things like otters and muskrats and beavers, which I'm super excited to say. I guess this had to have been a month ago now. I always say, just the other day, but sometimes just the other day catches up to me, and it's been a year or two. but just the other day, I saw a beaver float down the Olentangy, which is the first that I have seen personally, which was fantastic. It was a fantastic sight. Just kind of floating along, didn't stop, but just floated on by. Huge beaver. So very exciting there. We'll probably talk about mink, all sorts of exciting stuff. But James is a great naturalist. He'll do a fantastic job. He always does a fantastic job. And, of course, he's from the Marion County Parks District. That's going to start at 6:30 p.m. Now, there are going to be some stipulations to these. So the Marion County Parks District asks that James not do events for more than 10 people, James included. So we'll have limited spots available. So we'll be able to have 9 people out to the Nature Center.
So first come, first serve, basically.
So we'll have you reserve through Facebook or through the website. Okay. That's how we'll do that. Yep, so it doesn't cost anything. You just reserve. So even if that's, you know, sending me a message and just saying, I would like this many spots through the Teradice page, that totally works as well. I will reserve your spots for you. You just have to let me know. If all the spots are full, I'll let you in on that information and then just keep kind of a waiting list there.
Right. In case somebody drops off, then
absolutely.
Sure.
Yep. And then in December, I would love to carry on our Of the Olentangy programming. We don't know exactly what that looks like right now. We had a little bit of switcheroo with some people not being able to make it due to COVID, so we want to do something in December. We want to offer something. Mm-hmm. Two things that we might do. I may do a winter birding program, so just like a backyard bird basics program in December, just so which birds you're going to see hanging around, which are residential in the winter. So I'll probably talk about yellow-rumped warbler or the butterbuts then. Some more information to come. Or we might have some information on a wintering owl survey, which I would definitely prioritize over my backyard birding program. So depending on who's available when, we'll make that decision here very, very soon. But just so people are aware, every month we're going to have something. Teradice is going to have something to offer, whether it be in person or online. We'll have something, some sort of event to look forward to. And then, of course, we have our BioBlitz every third Saturday, which is totally open and self-guided. You just come out to the Nature Center, super easy, 3 steps. Come out, you enjoy a hike, and then you bring your camera with you, take some pictures, and then you just share that experience with us over social media. Or you can join iNaturalist, which I think I mentioned last time. It's kind of a social media platform. Mm-hmm. For biologists, naturalists, or nature lovers, and it's super easy to use. You snap photos, you upload them to this website. The website, much like, there's a function on iPhones, I think any smartphone now, is it Google Lens, that identify, you can take a snap a photo of any plant, maybe insect, beetle, whatever you're looking at, and go back to that picture, pull up the picture on your gallery, and you're going to see kind of a square box on the bottom portion of the screen, or at least this is how it is on my phone, which is an Android. If you click that box, it brings up a Google search and kind of reverse searches your image, the one that you had just taken, and brings up maybe suggestions as to what it could be. It's not always super accurate, but it's pretty close. The cool thing about iNaturalist is it works in much the same way. It reverse searches your image and brings back suggestions. So even if you have no clue what the heck kind of butterfly you're looking at, it will reverse search it, come back with a suggestion as to what kind of butterfly it might be, and you can say, yep, that kind of looks like it. Just give some other information as to where you found it, what the weather may have been like, what conditions were like, and then there are other naturalists and biologists on that website that actively seek out other people's posts and very friendly, very politely, and very constructively will let you know whether or not you had that ID correctly. And the great thing about iNaturalist is that it helps these biologists, it helps these naturalists, these researchers, these data collectors. It helps them kind of either track migrations or track the location or population density of different species, no matter where they might be. And this is a global, international platform. So it is fantastic. Really, really great. So I talked about James's or the Parks District stipulation with 9 guests. Mm-hmm. Anything that we do on site for the rest of the year is going to be limited to 20 guests. And again, it works the same way. If you see something that we post, one of these of the Olentangy events, either with it, either it be with Django or James or myself or the Wintering Owl Survey speaker, we'll limit it to 20 guests for sure. And obviously, masks required the entire time. Mm-hmm. So, safety first.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Something. Let me see. We've got about 12 minutes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, we're not done yet. Get back here. You want to talk a little bit about what's going on, an event that's going on over at the Eco Center.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, our good friends over at the Eco Center, Emily and Paco Oyavides, they are just fantastic. So Emily sits on our board at Terradice. And Paco really kind of functions as an advisor for us. They are just great, and their business out there with Eco Center, also in Caledonia, just fantastic. Educating Children Outdoors, ECO, that's what that stands for.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but you'll never forget it now.
I thought that had to do with ecology.
Well, it certainly does, yeah. So they've had a really rough year. Honestly, with COVID hitting them, it hit them way worse than it hit Terradice here.
Sure.
Especially with us just being a new nonprofit, we didn't have a whole lot to lose, which is why it didn't affect us too much. But with Eco Center, they've been running for 5 or 6 years now. They do some great events throughout the year. They do field trips, environmental education-focused field trips. Mm-hmm. They have corporate events out there. They do all sorts of renting of their facility, which is just beautiful. They have a rain barrel raffle. They do an Earth Day event. They do, they do a fall festival. But that requires people to be in close contact for long periods of time, and we just can't do that this year. So they are going to move forward with their maybe one event of the – well, I'll say their second event of the year, because we did have summer camp in the summer, and Terradice helped out with that.
Right.
And that was much needed. Oh, my gosh. For two educators, Emily and I, that hadn't got to – educate children for months and months and months, just to have kids out for summer camp was just much needed. It was like chicken soup for the soul, Emily likes to say. It was just fantastic. So the kids did great. We had masks on and social distancing and things like that, and the kids did fantastic. I couldn't have asked for anything more from them. They did fantastic. Hand washing was great. Just a fantastic experience all around. We did all the fun summer camp stuff.
And the kids' year has been so messed up.
Yeah, it absolutely has.
For them, it was a treat, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And just to have, I know everybody's home situation is a little bit different, but to come out to camp and to have a schedule, where, we do songs at this time, mm-hmm. and we do, some science stuff at this time, and we play this game at this time, and we have lunch this, it was so exciting for them, I think, just to have structure in their day or to have another place to go other than their house. Fantastic. But yes, the Eco Center, their second event of the year, will run through October 9th through the 31st, and that's going to be every Friday and Saturday evening. That's very important. Only Friday and Saturday evenings from 8 to 11. They're going to be putting on their Phobia Haunted Trail, which it sounds spooky, and I work the event, and I'm always pretty scared. this is, I think, the fifth year they have been putting on this haunted trail, and it gets better every single year, and Emily has really, she's really just come forward and saying, look, I've got nothing else to focus on right now. I don't have my fall festival event. I don't have field trips coming in. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build the best and the biggest haunted trail that I can. And it's looking really, really fantastic. I think I counted well over 10 structures in the trail.
Oh, wow.
Last time I was out there, which is really exciting. So the trail itself takes about 25 to 35 minutes to walk through, just to complete, depending on how many times you stop and maybe cower. I don't know. It's been rated as one of the top scares in Ohio. I mean, it's up there with the big boys as far as haunts go. And it's right here in Caledonia. It's in your backyard. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be pre-registration. You are going to come into the haunted trail. You are only going to go through the haunted trail with the people that you came with. So the people in your car, that's who you go through the trail with.
Okay.
We're going to be running groups through as quickly as we can. The line's going to be socially distanced. Masks are going to be required. Obviously, that's just something that, is going to be pretty consistent over, events, especially for small business, small organizations, things like that. This year is psychopath-themed, which we're pretty excited for. Anybody who's interested in maybe scaring, we would be interested in you. So reach out to us. You can go to ecocenterohio.com. That's ecocenterohio.com, and reach out to Emily that way. Or you can reach out to me. I'll give you my Terradice email again. It's TBUTLER at TERRADISE.ORG. Just let me know. We are open to it. Like I said, October 9th through the 31st, every Friday and Saturday evening, weather permitted. So please, please, please check out the Eco Center Facebook page or the website or the Phobia Haunted Trail page on Facebook to see whether or not we're going to have the event. Just always make sure, because there have been some events we've just been rained out of the entire night, and it would have been miserable for the scarers and miserable for the guests. So we just decided not to go on with it, but.
What's the name of that road over there, or a number?
County Road 59.
When Morrow County is 59, when you get into Marion mm-hmm. County, is it still 59?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
They are over in the Morrow County side of Caledonia.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So it is County Road 59 then?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So other than that, let's see. We've got, I'm just going to talk about what we're seeing at Terradice.
If you came to Terradice right now, what kind of things would you be seeing?
Absolutely.
What are the highlights?
Yes, yeah. All right, here we go. So as far as wildflowers go, we've obviously got some pretty bright yellows coming up and just flourishing right now, especially with the goldenrod. Goldenrod's great for tea making. Goldenrod is great for the current pollinators that we have around, especially, the monarchs that are really going to start their migrations mm-hmm. soon, if they haven't already. So the goldenrod is right up there, super important. We also have a lot of, which I was really interested to see, Jerusalem artichokes, which are really tall sunflowers.
Okay.
They get about 9-10 feet tall, just really reaching for the sky there, which is great. That's another member of the aster family, just like the goldenrod. Let's see. We've got Jack in the Pulpit fruiting all over the place. It's those weird red buried structures that kind of are in the shape of an upside down pine cone.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really great. Interesting, you cannot eat the fruit, so please don't eat those berries. But I did learn the other day that you can eat the tuber, which would be kind of like the swollen root system underneath the plant. It's kind of
really?
A nutrient holder. Yeah, a tuber is basically a potato.
Right.
So, yeah. So you can eat those, and I saw a recipe the other day where somebody was slicing them very, very thinly and making, like, potato chips out of them.
Really?
Yeah, I guess they would be Jack in the Pulpit chips, but really, really interesting. Jack in the Pulpit's a super interesting plant. It doesn't have any pollen. It does have pollen. I'm mistaken there. It doesn't have any nectar. So nectar is usually what attracts pollinators.
Okay.
Instead of nectar, Jack in the Pulpit, as a flower, it just emits this weird smell of a fungus. And there are these tiny little insects around called fungus gnats. And they actually do all of the pollinating
really?
Of the Jack in the Pulpit.
Okay.
With the absence of nectar. Right, which is super weird for a flower. But moving on, We've got New England Aster coming up. That's a beautiful purple flower with a yellow floral disc inside. We've got Closed Bottle Gentian coming up, which is a super interesting flower. It's like a purple flower, but it looks like it's never opening, which is super interesting. It just looks like a flower that's ready to burst, but it never does. It never does. It's always closed, and it's waiting for larger insects like bumblebees to come by and chew through the petal itself. Now the bumblebees, they're not going to take any of the pollen with them. They're actually doing what's called nectar robbing, which is that where they make kind of a window into the petal and then they steal the nectar and then fly off. And then the smaller insects, ants and things like that, will actually go into the flower itself, this closed flower, and collect the pollen that way. And then pollinate the other flowers, the other gentian flowers around, which is really, really interesting. We've got a lot of mushrooms coming up. It's fall. We've had a lot of rain, and our trail is just jam-packed full of fungus. So we've got puffballs. We've got coral tooth fungus, which is also lion's mane, mm-hmm. both edible. We've got dry-aged saddle coming up, which while it's young, so while it's growing in this season, you can eat it, definitely. It'll get really, really tough very soon, though. So chicken of the woods is up next. That bright orange bracket mushroom that you might be seeing on hardwoods, that's a great one. Tastes just like chicken. I recommend just kind of frying it. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. I just had some the other day. It's really fantastic. I just had puffballs the other day, too. Oh, gosh.
I was going to ask you if you ever taste one.
Oh, yeah.
I love puffball.
We just made a cabbage leaf lasagna. All right, so get this. It's a cabbage leaf lasagna. And we got our cheese from Coco Borrego Cheese over in Mount Gilead, an incredible local, like, world-renowned cheese. What do you do with cheese? Do you culture it? Culture. And, and so we actually pureed some of the puffball and added it to the cheese that we got from Coco Borrego. And we layered that in. We had some fresh tomato sauce that went in there too, garden tomatoes, yep. And then we got some beef from a local farm, threw it all together into lasagna, and that was incredible. I mean, it really, really
Tyler,
was.
Tyler, that sounds delicious. We are out of time. Thanks for joining us on the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street. Bob.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. There could be a, you know, they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney Miller, Abe Vigoda.
I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's Delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery. Speedy delivery to you, Scott.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road.